ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। तेषु तेषेव भगवान् राजन् तारतम्येन वर्तते, तस्मात् पात्रं हि पुरुषो यावनात्मा यथेयते। तेषेव भगवान् राजन् तारतम्येन वर्तते, तस्मात् पात्रं हि पुरुषो यावनात्मा यथेयते।
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O King Yudhishthir, the supersoul in every body gives intelligence to the individual soul according to his capacity for understanding. Therefore, the supersoul is the chief within the body. The supersoul is manifest to the individual soul according to the individual's comparative development of knowledge, austerity, penance, and so on. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 15.15, it is said, Mata Smritir Jnanam Apohanam Cha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his localized aspect, gives intelligence to the individual soul as far as he is able to grasp it. Therefore, we find the individual soul in different high and low positions. A living entity with the body of a bird or a beast cannot take instructions from the Supreme Soul as adequately as an advanced human being. Thus, there are gradations of bodily forms. In human society, the perfect Brahman is supposed to be the most advanced in spiritual consciousness, and further advanced than the Brahman is the Vaishnav. Therefore, the best persons are the Vaishnavs and Vishnu. When charity is to be given, one should take instruction from Bhagavad Gita 17.20. Dātavyam iti yaddānam dīyate anupākarine Deshakale cha patre cha taddanam satikam smritam. That gift which is given out of duty at the proper time and place to a worthy person and without expectation of return is considered to be charity in the mode of goodness. One should give charity to the Brahmans and Vaishnavas, for thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead will be worshipped. In this connection, Srila Madhvacharya comments, Brahmadhi sthavarana teshu na vishesho hare kvachit Vyakti Matra Visheshena Taratamyam Vadanti Vacha. Beginning from Brahma down to the ant, everyone is conducted by the Supersoul. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hrideshu Arjan Tishtati. But because of a particular person's advancement in spiritual consciousness, he is considered to be important. Therefore, the Brahman Vaishnava is important, and above all, the Supersoul, the Personality of Godhead, is the most important personality. Hare Krishna. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, Text 38, chapter entitled Ideal Family Life. So today is a very auspicious day of Srimati Rukmini Devi appearance day. So apart from briefly covering the purport, we'll discuss the kidnapping of Mother Rukmini as is described in today's Gopalji Darshan, and also some pastimes, conjugal pastimes, and the married life with Krishna and Mother Rukmini. So, Srila Prabhupada is describing here that the Supersoul is existing in the body along with the soul, and also that soul gives the intelligence according to the level of the person. So, Bhagavad Gita describes Ubdrashtanumanta cha bharta bhoktam heshvara Paramatmeti chapayukto deho asmin purushapara. That the Supersoul is existent within the body as a transcendental enjoyer, another enjoyer, who is the Lord, the Supreme Proprietor, who exists as the overseer and permitter, and yet who is known as the Supersoul. So, if at all we get any commentary of Bhagavad Gita and we are doubtful whether it's Vaishnava or Mayavadi, this is the verse which will differentiate. Because here it is described Purusha Para 13.23. That means there is a second person inside the body, and those who are Mayavadis will say that is one person only. Same soul and super soul, both are equal. Now, very common sense example which we can see that super soul exists and that gives knowledge and intelligence. For example, if somebody has seen a newborn cattle, calf born or a newborn animal just coming out of mother's womb, immediately that animal rushes towards the udder of the mother to suck milk. Now, who gives him that intelligence? That there is something called as udder from which he is supposed to get milk. So, that is the super soul. Because that baby in the womb doesn't have any experience of the udder. And somebody may say, so-called scientists, that this information is present in the genes. It's an instinct. So, if we discuss instinct, conditioned reflexes, the most famous experiment which is mentioned in the textbook is done by a Russian scientist called as Pavlov. So, what he did was that he would give dogs some food and ring a bell. And after some subsequent attempts, even if he wouldn't give food and just ring the bell, the dog would salivate. So here we can see that there was some external agency which was giving this information to the dog that the ringing of the bell is associated with food. Now somebody may say that this information of going to look for the udder is coming to the child from its parents. But then the question comes, where this information came to his parents? So if we go on like this, that there comes a point that there has to be some external agency, God, which gives this intelligence to the living being. And according to our level of consciousness, austerity, penances, somebody can be more in touch with super soul than other people and different bodies also. That's why we say a pure devotee is constantly in touch with God. Also, these qualities of Brahmins are also mentioned, which we'll also cover in this episode. So it is described that Lord Krishna, he is the source of all Vishnu Tattva and all the expansions. Similarly, Srimati Radharani, she is the source of all Shakti Tattva. So she is also the source of Mother Rukmini. So it is described that in Krishna book, Prabhupada gives a very beautiful description of entire episode. So it is described that Mother Rukmini, she is the daughter of King Bhishmak of Vidarbha. And she had five brothers, the eldest of whom was Rukmi. And since childhood, she had heard about various sages would come and visit their home and they would talk about Krishna. And even without seeing Krishna, she developed so much attachment towards him that she decided that she would surrender her life and accept her as her husband. So very beautiful qualities are mentioned in Krishna book. It is said, she is called as Ruchiranan. That is a beautiful face expanding like lotus. Then she had beauty, also brains, very high intelligence. And her behavior was very righteous and very broad-minded, liberal-minded and very auspicious bodily features. So everyone was thinking she was a perfect match for Krishna, but his brothers had other ideas. He was a close friend of who else but Shishupal and thought that he would be the perfect husband for her, his sister. But father wasn't willing, but just because he was affectionate towards the son, he agreed. But Rukmini became very morose. Prabhupada described she was son of a king and she decided it's not time for moroseness, it's time for some diplomacy. So she decides that she'll take matter in her own hand. And she calls a Brahmin and writes a letter. You can say it's probably the initial, like Krishna is the origin of everything, Janmadi Asya Yatha. So Mother Rukmini also initiates. So the qualities of Brahman, Prabhupada describes, like he is truthful, devotee of Vishnu, peaceful, satisfied and very tolerant, self-controlled and equipoised. And satisfaction is very important because even if all the things are taken away, still if the person is satisfied, he can live in any situation. Basically, I'm also learning. So then she sends that beautiful letter and the Brahman, he reaches Dwarka. So this is immediately after Muchukunda is delivered, Kalyavan is killed. So Krishna receives this Brahman in the court. He welcomes him very nicely, offers him his own throne. And although the Brahman, he knows that Krishna is Supreme God, yet because they have to observe the etiquettes of Varnashram, so Brahman, he accepts those offerings. Then Lord Krishna, in the night, he meets him and asks him, how are you? Is everything okay? And then he asks him, if you have some message, please tell me. Although Krishna knew everything. So then Brahman immediately gives him the letter of Mother Rukmini. So it's very interesting. I'll read some part of it. So she says, my dear Krishna, O infallible and most beautiful one, any human being who happens to hear about your transcendental form and pastimes immediately absorbs through his ear your name, fame and quality. Thus all his material pangs subside and he fixes your form in his heart. I have heard of your transcendental qualities. I may be shameless in expressing myself directly, but you have captivated me and taken my heart. It's like very direct. And she's only like 12, 13 years old, not very old. You may doubt my steadiness of character, since how could an unmarried young girl like me approach you without any shame? But my dear Mukund, you are the supreme lion among human beings, the supreme person among persons. Any girl, though not yet having left her home, or even any woman of the highest chastity, would desire to marry you, being captivated by your unprecedented character, knowledge, opulence and position. I know that you are the husband of Goddess of Fortune and very kind towards your devotees. So this kindness toward devotees we'll see throughout this episode. Therefore, I have decided to become your eternal maid servant. My dear Lord, I dedicate my life and soul unto your lotus feet. I have selected your lordship as my husband and therefore request you to accept me as your wife. You are the supreme powerful or lotus-eyed one. Now, I belong to you. So then she gives a very interesting proposal. She directly tells Krishna that please come and kidnap me. And then she also gives proper plan, because she says that if you come, there would be some warfare because other kings are also there. So instead of having that warfare in my home where some relatives are killed, she tells that before the marriage ceremony, I'll be going to a Durga Mandap, a place of worship, a traditional family deity which the ladies worship before marriage. So on the way you can kidnap me because not many relatives would be there. So then the Brahman tells Krishna, if you are willing, this is the time to act now, so please come. So without telling anyone, Krishna immediately calls his chariot driver and four horses, and immediately they set towards Vidarbha. So Prabhupada gives the travel details, saying that Vidarbha and Dwarka, there is a distance of around 1000 kilometers and it was covered in one night. So you can imagine what speed. And they reached to one place called as Kundina, which was a palace. And somebody told me that that place is holy to the Varkari Sampradaya, those who worship Vithal Rukmani, like we worship Barsana as the abode of Mother Radharani. So very nice description of the entire city is given, because it's a marriage ceremony and city is decorated nicely. The king is welcoming everyone and everybody is given proper accommodation. So the Baratis have also come. Shishupal along with his father. Very interesting name is called Dam Ghosh. So it is said that Prabhupada says he was very expert in curbing irregular citizen. So Dam Ghosh. Ghosh means famous and Dam means dabane ke liye. And their army is also described. So something which caught my attention was there were elephants with golden necklace. So I mean, we imagine golden necklace for somebody, but elephants with golden necklace is really heights of opulence. And it wasn't like open secret that Rukmini loved Krishna, and also probably she had sent some messenger to invite Krishna. So all these Shishupal and all his teammates, they were like really anxious to defend Rukmini and not let Krishna come. So at that stage, it's in the night and Mother Rukmini, she hasn't received any message from the Brahman, nor she has received any information that Krishna has come. And she's very disappointed. And at that time, she's thinking different thoughts. She's thinking, maybe I have not worshipped demigods and I worship Krishna, so demigods are angry. And like see, Rudra and Rudrani, there is Rudra is Shiva and Rudrani is his wife. And the name itself means ki they make everyone cry. So they must be very angry. And Rudrani, she's the daughter of Himalaya, hard-hearted. But why don't they care for very small girl like me? So Bhagavatam describes her as like Bala, a small girl. So she's a small girl, but her heart is totally attached to Krishna, doesn't want to go anywhere else. And when Krishna is not coming, she's so pained that she'll be left out. So Prabhupada describes that just as the gopis they pray to Mother Katyayani to get hand of Krishna, so she's also praying to Mother Durga. So this is like bona fide demigod worship. So, and she was so pained, so disturbed that she couldn't control, and tears began to flow from her eyes and she was sobbing. But suddenly the left side of her body began trembling. These were like auspicious signs. And suddenly that Brahman appeared before her, and straight away, without wasting time, he said, "Lord Krishna has come, don't worry." So that was also the time that she was about to go for marriage ceremony. And she became so happy. She said, "Whatever I have, I'll give you." But then she realized she didn't have anything to give him. So she just offered obeisances. And then she comes out of the palace with all her girlfriends and the Brahman, old Brahman ladies, bodyguards. And she walks towards the temple. And all the suitors, all the like kings who have come for the marriage ceremony, they see her beauty and they are totally bewildered. And at that same time, they also get to know that Balramji, he came to know that Krishna has already left. So he understood there is going to be some fighting. So he takes a Yadu army and it's like match is like ready for action. And the king also gets the news that Krishna and Balram have come. So he goes greet them and puts them in proper quarters. So when Mother Rukmini, she goes to the temple and the Brahman ladies, they tell her, "You offer like this, do this puja," and she offers various articles, clothes, etc. And then she comes out. So Prabhupada gives very beautiful description of Mother Rukmini's beauty. So she is so beautiful that the people who see her, they become unconscious and they fall from the chariots, elephants and horses, they fall down. And everyone is thinking, comparing his beauty with her beauty, and thinking, "Oh, she might be very suitable for me." But she is looking only for one person. And she just gazes around and she sees Krishna. And it is described she has never seen Krishna, but she has heard so much about Krishna that she immediately recognizes him. And then Krishna comes. And like we see in this chariot, Krishna comes and invites Mother Rukmini to come on the chariot. So all this Krishna is doing in a very unhurried manner. Shanti se he is coming. Like we may have some experience of seeing in a movie that somebody comes immediately with a bike or car, "Come on, jump," and they fly away. But Krishna is very calm and quiet. "Please come." And he waves and goes away. And all the kings who are like unconscious, they suddenly gets up, "My God, what is this?" We are waiting for Rukmini. They dust their clothes and cry, and Jarasand and Damkosh, everybody just challenges, "Come on, let's fight." And Shishupal is like totally morose. What has happened? And their friends encourage him, come on, let's go and fight. So Krishna and Rukmini speed away and Balramji say, "You go away, I'll take care of them." So Balramji intervenes. And Mother Rukmini, she is very worried. Okay, so much army is coming. So Krishna makes very affectionate sentence. He says, "Don't worry, your army will take care." So he says, "Your army," doesn't say my army. So he was already accepted. "Your army will take care, don't worry." So they are going away and Balramji and Yaduvansh army. It is described that when the opposite army was shooting arrows, it was like rain falling against mountain. So rain falling against mountain doesn't create any effect, but then the mountain retaliates. So it is described that when the Yadu army, they started firing arrows and it was like thighs upon thighs, heads upon heads, bodies upon bodies, horses upon horses. So entire army was being butchered like anything. And then everybody realized, my God, why are we fighting? It's Shishupal's wife. Like, we don't have anything to do. It's Shishupal's wife, let him handle. why should we suffer? So everybody comes, say, Shishupal, don't worry, it happens. Time is like this. So they encourage him, and Shishupal is totally frustrated. What is this? And they say, don't worry, it happens. Jarasandha also says, it happens, I lost so many times and at last I won. So you'll also get your chance. So like this, everybody pats his back and go away. So at that time, Rukmi, he's like really angry because he had decided that match. So he says, I'm going to fight. I'm not going to leave Krishna, simple coward man. So he was that if I don't defeat Krishna and bring Rukmini back, I won't enter my capital. So he goes and attacks Krishna, shoots arrows, and they stuck Krishna's body. Then Krishna, Prabhupada in one lecture describes that when fighting, Krishna gave the rein of the horses to Mother Rukmini. Not given in Krishna book, but in one lecture he says. So, because she was also daughter of the king, so she was also expert. So at that time, Krishna immediately shot arrows, destroyed Rukmini's bows, then killed his chariot driver, horses, removed the upper portion of the chariot. Then Rukmi came to fight with the hand weapons. Krishna destroyed that also. Then again he came, then Krishna finally decided to kill. At that time, Rukmini falls at his feet. And she's like fearful, trembling, and begging for mercy. So Balramji comes at the right time, and he apparently chastises Krishna. What kind of person you are? You're just married and you're killing your wife's husband, or wife's brother. You shouldn't do like this. So then they decide to give some special treatment and give a special haircut to Rukmi. And shave his beard, little bit, mustache here and there, and send him. And Balramji preaches to Rukmini Devi and also Krishna. And somehow he's saved. So then Rukmini Devi comes to Dwarka. Time passes and she has grown up sons, Krishna marries other queens. So at that time, one episode happens that Krishna brings a Parijat flower for her. But the other, Satyabhama, the other queen, she becomes very envious. And then Krishna brings the entire Parijat tree only for her. So he's thinking that Rukmini, she would say something, but she's like very peaceful, doesn't say anything. So Krishna wants to provoke her into some angry mood. And one day, a very nice description is given of the palace of Mother Rukmini. It's sunset time, very brilliantly lit. The smoke of Agru, smoke from incense and Agru fragrance is there. And Mother Rukmini personally offering chamar to Sri Krishna. So at that time, Krishna suddenly decides to provoke her. And the Acharya, he says that, actually I am very unfit of a match for you. And you see, there are so many nice kings. And actually I am afraid of everyone. And that's why I come in this sea, not even staying in land. And my character is also like this. I am like a vagabond, no fixed goal. When I was with cowherd people, I neither was with Mother Yashoda or Nand Maharaj. Now I come to this palace, still I'm not fixed up here. And then I also don't know any etiquettes. I'm not trained up like urban ways. People have one wife, I have 16,000 wives. And I can't even satisfy any one of them. And all the females who are attached to me, they are left crying. Gopis are crying, they were attached to me, they are crying in Vrindavan. And here queens are crying because I am talking about gopis. And then he says, I am penniless, I have no money. I was born penniless, then I was brought penniless to Gokul. Although I had so many calls were there with Nand Maharaj, but actually I did not owe anything. And here also I have come, but I have killed Kansa, but this kingdom belongs to Ugrasen. I don't have anything, I am penniless. Rich people, they don't worship me. Nobody likes to worship me. And I simply married you because those people were my enemies, those kings, and I wanted to teach them a lesson. And actually, I have no love for you. And I'm not interested in family life also. So he says that it's best that you can leave me and marry some of your king. And you know Shishupal, he's so lusty and mad after you that if you marry him, he'll become like a servant to you. Servant of the servant, he says. So at that time, Mother Rukmini, she had grown-up sons, and this concept of divorce was not there in Vedic period. So she hears this and she feels, actually Acharyas describe that Mother Rukmini, she was very proud that of all the queens, Krishna is staying maximum with me. So Krishna doesn't like pride in his devotees, and he wanted to cut away that pride. So she could feel that actually Krishna is going to be separated from me. So she becomes so disturbed, and she started trembling, and the chamar vase, she immediately falls from her hand, and then she also falls down. So Krishna realizes that it was a big mistake. He thought he was making these pointed jokes, and Mother Rukmini would answer back, and he would get to see some angry mood and have some nice pastime. But she took his words very seriously and fainted. So very beautiful manifestation of Krishna appears. So Krishna immediately comes with four arms. So with two arms he holds Mother Rukmini who's fallen, and with other two arms he just wipes her face and dries her sweat and cools her up. So that is the love of Krishna. And he brings her up and say, please don't worry, I know you are very sincere and very seriously attached to me, and we are eternal companions. So what I spoke, these were not factual words, but I just wanted to irritate you so that you reply in counter answer and anger and chastise me, and I just wanted to see your angry face. So please don't feel bad. So Mother Rukmini, she understands that what Krishna said was not true, and then she also decides to answer by Krishna. She says, my Lord, whatever you said was actually correct. You said that I'm not a fit match for you. Krishna actually said that he was not a fit match, but she started saying that I'm not a fit match for you. Why? Because you are reservoir of all good qualities and controller of three qualities, master of greatness. You are worshipped by everyone. And where am I? I'm just a creature of three modes. And how can I be equal to you? Then she says that you said that you took shelter in the sea. But then who are these kings of material world from whom you took shelter against the sea, in the sea? She says these kings of the material world are the three modes. And you have taken shelter in the heart as Paramatma, because these modes can't affect you there. You said you have enmity with the kings. So who are these kings? These kings are the senses. And you're the master of the senses, Hrishikesh. You're the controller. You have eternal enmity with them. And you says you don't have any supremacy in the material world. And even your servants don't have any supremacy. They also give up everything. They don't have any touch with the material world, because they think that all these material acquisitions are hampering devotional service. You say you are vagabond. You don't have any fixed place. Your devotees are also like this. They also don't have any fixed place. They give up everything. And common men, they cannot understand this. You say you have no money, but I see that great demigods, they accept you as master and worship you. And then she says there is nothing in existence but you. You yourself are everything. You don't possess anything, but yet none is richer than you. You are absolute. So you can adjust this contradiction that you don't have anything, still you possess everything. Because Krishna is everything in this material world. So he doesn't have to possess anything just to show that he is rich. She says, rich people don't worship you because they are into sense gratification with their money. But those people who want to possess you, they give up everything just to possess you. We have the example of Narad Muni. You say that I'm not fit for your association. But the thing is that no one is equal to you. You are the greatest, you are the ultimate goal. And in Krishna consciousness, somebody who serves and somebody who receives service, like Krishna only receives service, but all the servitors, they also enjoy. Not like material world, where only the person who receives service, he enjoys. And those who give service, they suffer. And she says that persons with knowledge, they want you. They give up Brahman just to get you. And the society which is based upon serving you, in which you are the center, there everyone is happy. So indirectly she is saying that just because you are the center of my life, everyone who is serving you is also happy. And she said, you said that rich men though don't worship you, only beggars worship you. But who are these beggars? These beggars are great devotees, great kings who are liberated people, who are in renounced order. They forgive the worst offenders, tolerate all tribulations and follow spirituality. I follow them. I have selected you not out of inexperience, but by following these people, I have decided to surrender to you. You are penniless. Why? Because you give yourself to devotees. Whatever you have, you give to your devotees. And then she makes very interesting comparison. She said, time is under your control. And since time is under your control, everyone else is your control. And all the kings, Jarasandha and Shishupal, they don't control anything. They are like insects before you. And you say that you are scared of these kings. But how is it possible? In my marriage ceremony, you defeated all of them. Just by the jerk of your string of your bow, all these people, they got shaken up. And you say that all the females, they cry, those who are attached to you. But I see that great kings like Ang, Prithu, Yayati and Bharat and Gaye, they left riches to surrender to you voluntarily. Does it mean that they were lamenting? These are great kings and voluntarily they gave up everything. She said, then she compares Krishna's body with the materialistic kings. She says, men of this world, their bodies made of, she gives very nice Gita course information, like skin covered with bones, blood, mucus, pus, urine, stool. And she says, and gives very interesting analogy. She says, they work like, do hard labor, like we say, kolu ke bell. So they are attached, the bulls are attached to a machine and they press oil. So men work like that. And they work like asses. And she gives two comparisons. They are dishonored like dogs and miserly like cats. You see how dishonored like dogs, because whenever dogs come to eat anything, people throw stones. And miserly like cat. It's a very interesting thing because cats and dogs are opposite. Actually, people who love cats and people who love dogs, they also have different personalities. So... So like dogs, they are like very loving. When the person comes home, they go like love him, lick him, cuddle with him. There was one person, he said, if you want to see real love, you should see how your dog loves you. That is selfless love. But the cat, she is totally opposite. She is very reserved. How much you love him, she'll be like sthit pragya. Not so she won't show any affection or gesture. So she's called as miserly. So Mother Rukmini says that you are the greatest because Narad Muni worships you. So many sages worship you. And somebody who has tasted the fragrance of your lotus feet, they can never be attached to anyone. So by this she's saying that the body of Krishna is transcendental because when the fragrance itself can captivate somebody and that person loses all attractions for material world. And then she says, actually, it's not your fault. It is your mood. You are Atmaram. You are self-satisfied. You don't care whether I am beautiful or qualified. And you are not attached to me. Whereas my mood is that whatever be your mood, let my devotion and attention be at your lotus feet. Your one glance in my life is my life's greatest boon. I don't want anything from you. No special affection or gesture. Krishna is really moved by this. And then he says, my dear chaste wife, my dear princess. So initially when Krishna began conversation, he doesn't call her as my wife. She says, my dear princess. So like addressing her as royal, not like intimate. But now he says, you are dearmost. I'm very pleased to hear how much you love me. And then he says, no matter whatever your ambition, desire, expectation, I'm always at your service. He says, my devotees are fully dependent on me. And in material world, even if they ask something from me, I give them because that ultimately will be useful for their liberation. And he said, actually, I was testing you. But in spite of my sharp words, your devotion and love for me did not budge an inch. So this also shows how we may, love is tested when there is difficulties. So despite provocation, if the relationship is not dissoluted, that is real love, which Prabhupada describes. Then Krishna glorifies Mother Rukmini, and there's like a recall of all the great things which she had done for him. He says that you have faith. Just by hearing about me, you surrendered to me. You did not even see me. That much was your faith in the words of great souls. And then you were fixed up. Although there were so many opportunities before you, so many people, so many beautiful kings, powerful kings were there, you were fixed up in me. You did not deviate, even while seeing so many temptations. Then you were totally surrendered to me. Because although I humiliated your brother and later Balramji actually killed, you did not even say a single word of complaint. So much was your surrender. And what was your loyalty? That although Krishna did not delayed a little bit in coming to kidnap her, she decided if Krishna doesn't come, she would commit suicide. She would not let another man touch her body. So these were the qualities of Mother Rukmini. And Prabhupada ends the chapter by saying that Krishna enjoyed conjugal pastimes with Mother Rukmini with complete perfection. So on this auspicious day, we can learn so many lessons of faith from Mother Rukmini, of being fixed up, being loyal, and also surrendering to Krishna. And we see devotees also say that Mother Rukmini is like, this analogy is like a spirit soul. She is like a spirit soul, Krishna is the supreme god, and the Brahman is like spiritual master who takes the spirit soul towards Krishna. And as we see in her life, there will be difficulties, there will be temptations, and there will also be crisis. But just as Mother Sita, although she had temptations of Ravan and she also had torture, but still she did not give up Sri Ram. Similarly, although we may have difficulties, challenges, temptations, we should follow in the footsteps of great devotees and pray for the shelter of Mother Rukmini, that just like she remained always surrendered to Krishna and loyal to him, we should also remain loyal and surrendered to Krishna. So, thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Granth Sahib Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai.